So what does it mean? It means that he made himself completely ignorant insofar as the
No,
it means the, in other words, the, right. Yeah, his way. He made himself totally ignorant of all the different things that Yeshiv did. He made himself ignorant of all things that Yeshiv did. All right. So what's not like this Rav and Shmuel? According to Rav, it's Scottish Mamash, but Shmuel, it's Scottish. So Shel Yada means Asa Asma Ki'ul Yada. Question is, whenever you see a Chazal like this, you see usually Chazal do not go out of their way to change the chat in the Pasuk. But you try simply to interpret the Pasuk the way it is. So how would you interpret it from Mamach Chodesh HaMasrayim? No king. Shel Yada is Yosef. You didn't know about Yosef. Why did Chazal, why did at least one of the Amoraim see fit to interpret this Pasuk and to say, or to say that it's possible what the Pasuk means, that it really was the same king? I mean, isn't it odd to say that really? Basically, it's an odd thing.
How about
his
Pasuk?
What?
Because it's been difficult to interpret that. And the king of the road didn't know about Yosef. Because he had to change their...
All right, so there, yeah, Rashel Yodas Yosef,
that is history.
Take a look, that's what Rashi says, Rashel Yodas Yosef, he says as Rashi says, Osa Atzma Ki'ul Loyodas, that's whether you say it's a Melech Harosh, or whether you say it's the same king, it's the same shot. Rashel Yodas doesn't really mean that he didn't know, he was totally ignorant of, of course he knew the history, but it means whoever it was, Osa Atzma Ki'ul Loyodas, right? But if you say Asa Atzma Ki'ul Loyodas, that makes more sense if it was another king, doesn't it? I mean, it's another king came, another regime, and he didn't want to know from Yosef. He didn't want to know. Possible. But to say the same Melech, the same exact person, same exact king, that already is a difficult thing. Everything, we can have Avrech. The Nosan say, I'll call Aris Israel. When this would certainly be a tremendous transformation of character. Tremendous transformation. There must be some basis for it. You could just come along and say that this transformation took place
really
like that. Right. Questioning, why there must be Shmuel must have a basis for assuming, there must have some insight to assume that he's capable, that power is capable of such a total metamorphosis, complete transformation of character. See? So Shmuel, when he learned the Chumash, he must have seen something in Parai. He must have understood something about Parai that would lead him to understand that this is possible, that he should change. So, extremely from one side to the other. Right? Alright, let's take a look at the case. I have to go back. In order, psychologically, it would be much easier to interpret Vayakma Melech Harosh as what?
No.
Okay, I think everybody will agree with that. To say it's the same person that underwent such a tremendous change, we must have evidence that Parah is capable of doing that. So Shmuel must have known something from the Torah that indicates that he's capable of doing such a thing. Alright, what was it? What was it
See, he changed his mind about these prisoners.
That's not so bad, because he didn't really change his mind. All he did there was, very simply, the only thing he did there was he put them into jail, and there's no doubt a big investigation was... to place to find out what happened over there. I mean, after all, the greatest threat to a king is the close workers. That's how you get killed. So any mishap over there demands an investigation. So if we went to jail, we did an investigation. Then apparently found out that when they did the investigation, they found that the Sar Ephraim showed signs of disloyalty, and the slightest sign of disloyalty among the close persons of a king has to be punishable by death. That's the way he's going to react. So that's what happened. The other one they found, they went to his history, they interrogated everybody that came in contact with him, they found him totally loyal. So they put him back in his job. But the Sar Ephraim, there must have been something that's passed that indicated that he wasn't completely loyal.
Was there a Beira, the Sar Ephraim, really just a pebble in a flower?
It means that literally, or it means that there's something, some small thing they found wrong with them. Let's put it that way. Something they found wrong with them. Could be that was it. But I don't know. I mean, exactly. If the Medrash, you want to know if the Medrash is absent, if the Medrash means that something they found wrong with, that's precisely the thing that it was. I don't know. Yes?
It sounds like Panama makes
very... Could be, I don't know.
Makes very good.
Either way, whatever it is, one thing we know, that there was some small thing they did wrong. Sarah Eichman did some small thing wrong with Sarah Masha. It was enough to warrant an investigation, and then the power decided what the verdict was going to be. Yes?
The L.A. power makes very extreme decisions very quickly. Like when
what?
Yosef came in, Sarah Eichman says he's Nara Grievin.
Yeah.
This is a servant trying to say that the servant isn't supposed to be...
not good enough.
Right. And then 2 minutes later, he interprets the dream, and the power right away makes the king.
All right, great. Okay, we'll go from there. We'll go from there. That's a good point. I say, look, in order to investigate, if we want to understand the character of fire, we have to go back to the case. Because that's what we start seeing, his character. Now, there's two ways to see the person's character. By what he does, consciously. But there's another way to see his character. What's the other way?
Through dreams.
Now, the thing is like this. Through dream interpretation. Okay. And I say like this. That basically there are two causes of dreams. The Pesukim Mishlei says that one of the causes of dreams is a person's thoughts. Natural cause. That's one cause. That's why the Gemara says there's no chalim without shtus. Because shtus means the source is his own mind. More specifically, his own wishes. Rayenes, what was possibly Rayenes libi al mishkavi olu. That's the way the puzzle goes. That whatever the person's thoughts were, so that's they're expressed in his dreams. That's one type. Then there's another type of dream, the prophetic dream. Prophecy, the Lord. Prophetic dream is not tied to the person's wishes. This is something which is given, is a direct act of dashgacha, and has no shaykhus to his wishes. Okay? Now, let's take a look at a few points here in the parsha that are unusual. You take a look at the dreams themselves. The dreams themselves. Now, you can't possibly analyze a dream, that part of the dream which is prophetic. Because the part of the dream which is prophetic is not subject to analysis. It's hashgacha. But all those things which aren't, then we're dealing with a different story. Okay? That's what it is. In the dreams, which part is and which part isn't? What would you say? Let's take the first dream. Vayim mikeshna sayim yomin ufara chaylein v'inei oymer al hayor. V'inei min hayor oylois sheva parois. V'lois mare ubriye kvasa. Vatir ena ba'achov. V'inei sheva parois acheres oylois acherei min hayor rois mare vedakas basa. Vatam moidno eitzel aparis al svas hayor. Vatechalna aparis rois hamare vedakas abasa. Eis sheva aparis ufais hamare vabriyeis vayikats parois. Okay? That's the end of dream one. Dream two. Vayishon vayachalem shenis. Vinei sheva shibolim oilez kakona echad briyez v'teves. Vinei sheva shibolim dakas v'shtufes kodim tzem chesacharen. Vatevlana shibolim adakas. Eis sheva shibolim v'briyez v'mleyez v'yikats parvenechalem. Dream two. Okay? Now, you remember that when Parai asked Yosef, Yosef explained the dream to him, right? So, he told him, twice. Why twice? What does Yosef say? Yeah. It says Lamed Beis. Mem Aleph Lamed Beis. Valishere Sachalim El Parai Pamoyim. Kinochlein Hadavar Meim Olakim Umayer Olakim Lasesay. Why did the dream happen twice? To indicate immediacy. It's going to happen in a very quick time. The prophecy is going to be fulfilled quickly. So that's why it was twice. Now, when it says Alishanis Hachalim Al Paracha Al Pamoyim, so what does it show? Was it that the prophetic dream was given twice? So, if we want to analyze which factors are prophetic and which factors aren't prophetic, well, we have a method already. That's right. If you superimpose one dream on top of the other, all those factors which stand out in which are not uncommon, those are the factors that are not prophetic.
Whatever
was
doubled was prophetic.
This has to do with what?
Why did he say that?
Double? Because the prophetic dream was doubled, right?
Right.
Right. So the prophetic dream was doubled, which means that anything which wasn't doubled is not prophetic. Right? So therefore, that raises the difference. That already is subject to analysis. That comes from Paro. That comes from Paro. Let's take this method. Let's see how it works out. Okay? Right. What do you say? Take a look at it. You look at the results. Which factors do you find in the dreams that are really...
The actions.
That aren't in common?
The objects. Which objects were picked?
Which objects were picked? Okay. Let's take that point. It's a good point. Which objects were picked? You mean Shibboleth or...
Right.
Shibboleth or... Really, in reality, that could very well be attributed... First of all, before we go any further, I can tell you, number one, every question that we ask must be a logical question, right? Now, the Rambam of the Maariv Ocha mentions that a question of this type might not always be logical. Why? I'll give you an example. He says, somebody will say, let's say, for instance, you find a mitzvah in the Torah. You'll say, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? So you'll tell me the purpose was such and such. Okay? Now, the Rambam says, it's illegitimate to ask, why couldn't you do it in another way? Why? Because he says maybe there are 15 ways to do it, but one way has to be chosen. So who tells you that there's specific meaning in that particular one way? He says, logically, if I have five ways to achieve a goal, let's say for instance I have five different ways to achieve a goal. So is it illogical for me to take way three? I mean, whichever way I'm going to take, you're going to say, take the other way. So where everything is equal, you can't ask that question. So we have to be careful when we ask the question. Because perhaps everything is equal, and something had to be chosen, so cow was chosen. See? But actually, you know what I mean? That's why I say the question isn't strictly a question that demands an answer. As I say, something had to be chosen. But in reality, when you look at the two things that were chosen, it would seem at any rate that there's a good reason why these two things were chosen. Why?
They both represent
what? Food. And what is two sources of food, basically? Which is what? Now, which are two types of food you have, basically?
Oh.
You have the meat and the vegetable, the animal and the vegetable. Okay, so first one was the animal, second one was the vegetable. So the fact that the objects were used, these objects, so ask me, why do you take a cow, why not a sheep? Then I'd say what the Rambam says. Because if you take a sheep, you say, why not take a cow? You know, one of them has to be taken, you know what I mean? This type of question isn't really a question.
I mean, it wouldn't matter whether it was a sheep or a cow?
No, I'd say it doesn't matter. See, you could say very well. Why do you take sheaves? Why do you take some? Sheaves, you understand, because that's bread is the source of life. I mean, it's the main food, the main staple food. Fine. But this type of question really isn't a question, because you have to choose one thing or another. So that factor will eliminate.
What about the characteristics of the being chosen, like a cow? Is that a docile thing or a sheep?
I'm telling you, because then whatever, cow is something which is a domesticated animal that's consumed for food. Right? Now, any domesticated animal, you're going to say, you're going to take this one or that one.
Which one did they sell out to them, really? They eat the sheep.
All right. Fine, whatever it is.
Well, I'm not going
to. Good. But I'm just saying, you have to be careful. Make sure the question is a question. Right. What else? Let's take a look again. So what, that we can eliminate. What is there that is really, okay. Right. Dine Ayamed Al Hayar. Right. That you don't have in the second dream? Dine Sheva Shibboleth. What is Dine? That's all he had to see was the first cows, the fat cows, right? Being consumed by the skinny ones. What didn't he have to see? Well, there has to be Mitzrayim. Okay. But Zihine Omer Eliyar, who doesn't he have to see?
Himself.
See. There's no need for Pari to witness himself in the dream. That's one. There's no need for Pari to witness himself in the dream. See. Ufara Echolim Vine Omer Eliyar. And behold, in the dream, he sees himself.
What was that? What was the prophecy?
See? Okay, and that's why in the second dream, he doesn't see himself in the second dream. V'hine sheva shibolim dakes oiles pekona echa bris teres. Right? Okay. What other factor is there in the first dream which really isn't in the second dream? Where? V'hine
min hayar.
V'hine min hayar. Exactly right. That's right, min hayar. That the cows are coming out from the yar. You see, it doesn't say that the Shibboleth, where they're coming from. It doesn't say. There's no need to have the source of the Shibboleth. All you have to say is that they were there. They were there. Why must the cows come out of the yard? Two things. Basically two things. Here's the detail. That's it. That's fine. Well, that's what Yes explains that. That's prophecy. You won't even know that there was a.
That's not a difference.
Because that's part of the dream. And when he repeats it, he also says in Pasuk
Yitzayin.
Hinini Oimed al Sfasayar. Me, I'm standing by Sfasayar. Vine minaya or Oiles Sheva Paris. Okay? Right? Then in Chav Beis, Vo'ere Bachalaimi. I saw in my dream. Vine Sheva Shibolim, Oiles Bekonecha, Malayas Ateris. So you see, obviously, it's not as if, but somebody might say, maybe they have the same, the dreams have the same introduction. But it leaves it out in the second case. No, you see what Paro repeated exactly that way. So these two factors were in the first dream and they were in the second dream. Now since they were in the first and they were in the second, and we know that they're both prophetic, so anything which stands out, which is not in common in two dreams, is not prophetic anymore. It's not a prophetic factor in the dream. Okay? So then it's subject to interpretation. Okay? That's one. What is the purpose of him being in the dream, and why the cows have to come out of the yard? Let's take another difficulty. Two people mentioned already that Paro's reaction was a very strange one. Why? Because true that Yosef helped him out, and Yosef interpreted his dream for him. He was very happy about that. Very happy. But you seem to feel that there's a little overreaction here on the part of Paro. All right? I did him a favor. Did him a favor. Very nice. Free reward. But suddenly, not just rewarded, this man is taken and raised. Nar, as you mentioned before, Nar, Ivri, all the things, the animosity is there, the hatred is there, you see, hatred towards the Jew, different identity. But nevertheless, Paro overcame all these emotions. And in spite of everything, the guy did me a favor. Fine. Give him a reward. Melech has to show rewards to subjects. But take the man and make him, who the man is going to do that? See? Not only that, it's even to the point where he almost relinquishes his own rulership. I'll show you. What happened later when the Vatechilena? Take a look. Nun Gimel. Vatechilena Sheva Shnei Asava. Next pasuk now. Vatechilena Sheva Shnei Arav Lovai Kasher Amar Yosef. Vayi Rav B'chol Haaretz. V'chol Haaretz Hashem Ha'elacha. Vatirach Tal Haaretz Hashem. Vayitzek Omar Parav Alachem. So what happened? By Yomer Paro Lachom Tzayim Luchul Yosef Hashem Yomer Lachem Tasef. What does that sound like? King should say, "All right, I'll have the answer for you in a little while. Go and start with Yosef. Naturally, pump him from all the information, all proper things to do. This is what we're going to do. Paro didn't do it. All of a sudden, Paro's like a tzaddik. Whatever Yosef says, that's what you should do. Give the man all the cover he's given to Yosef." All this is like the man is totally withdrawing himself from this kingdom. Wild. Looks like an overreaction. Now we have to understand that. Especially if we say Vayakam Malachadash means. Yeah. But see, you see, this man would seem that the picture that we get from Paro in this parsha is a picture of a man who is a complete tzaddik. Complete tzaddik. The man does not do anything dishonest. All the credit goes to Yosef. He tells the people that Yosef is the greatest person in the world. Right? Then the same man has to change of character to be the Paro Mitzrayim, the worst Russia. One of the worst Mitzrayim in history, in our history, is odd, very odd indeed. Okay.
And then Yosef told him what they meant, right? And then immediately he made him Mishnah Melech. But how did Paro know that Yosef was telling the truth? How did he know that he had the ability?
You mean the pasuk Vayasim Eloi Levado Velehem Levadom?
Yeah.
Velamitzrim Ha'echlem Ite Levadom. So what was it? So the Mitzrim was separate. So him and his brothers were on one side and they were on the other side.
Understand?
God. What's it got to do with this?
Okay. So he himself, on the contrary, he himself was different from that. So why does
the answer is that they would have man's smart power and not even give him the color of evil?
That they didn't eat with his.
Yes.
So I'd say on the contrary, so you see, so it makes the dilemma even greater. Here the man is correct. Here the man is totally separated and he does something which is terrible for them, can't even eat with them, and yet he's the highest man in the land. Right. That adds to the difficulty, yes.
Well, how did Paro know that Yosef was telling the truth?
About what?
He told him the, how did he know that what he told him really happened?
Oh, that's a good question. How did he know? Same thing with Nebuchadnezzar. How did Nebuchadnezzar know that that his dream was the correct one? That's a good question. I'm not saying it's not a good question. You know, I don't know if we can answer the question right now, but it's a question. How did he know? They told him also answers. They gave him answers as well. They also said that he's going to have right. We'll see. Maybe we could really shed some light on that point. Maybe we could shed some light on that point. But alright? Any other points? Okay. So basically we're confronted with two things that we have to understand. In understanding the character of Paro. First of all, the factors that are non-prophetic, right? And secondly, the odd response that Paro, the odd reaction that Paro had towards Yosef. Okay, now let's take a look. I think the only way we can understand it is to start with a dream. Alright. What is the R? Take a look at Rashi. Alayar. Kol she'or nahoreis enem kriyim yo'irim. Chutz minilas. It means the Nile. Why? Mibnei she'kol or tasuyim yo'irim yo'irim b'yo adam. They make little irrigations. V'nilus oile b'seichon u'mashke aysav. V'fin she'ein gishomim yo'irim b'mitzrayim. Todir k'shar ratzais. So in Egypt, the water doesn't always, you don't have rain. So the source of the source of irrigation is the Nile. Okay. So what is the importance of that? So what does that show you?
The source of everything. All the
source of everything. Now when Parai when it says that Parai is Aymer Al Yor, what does it mean
he's
Aymer Al Yor?
He's the source of everything.
Which means that the Yor is really the source of nature, the natural source, right? But who's above the natural source? Parai. So therefore, Paro considers himself as what?
God.
Right. God. Paro considers himself as God. And this is not unusual for Paro. Right? Because Paro, the Egyptians, that was the Egyptian philosopher king. And moreover, Paro is right. You know, you say, I'm my mom. Why? Because he considers himself a God. Okay. Even makes it more strange. Right? He considers himself a God.
Washington.
Now, when we say he considers himself a god, what does it mean he considers himself a god? That means that what does he have?
Control of all nature.
Control of all nature. That's what God is. God is in total
control.
Control
of humans, not nature.
Everything. He has control of everything. The man has control of everything. That's the idea of a god. Okay. What is the most threatening thing to a person who thinks that way? What is that philosophy?
Letting people be proved wrong.
Yeah, well, how would we
feel
wrong?
By having the drought, by having the famine.
By having an instance.
Right, where he can't control it, he'd be proved
wrong.
Right.
That's right. So it's so bad that he can't even fool himself anymore to thinking, that he has control.
Oh, yes.
One second. Now, right? Okay? Fellow, he considers himself a god, and the most threatening thing to such an individual is a situation where he totally has no control. He's lost. Completely lost. He's wiped, lost to the point where he's wiped out. I mean, this worse than being wiped out, it removes his image of himself. That's even more painful. Okay. Now, the question is like this. Vaiva Bek Vatipam Ruchai, right? Something was bothering him. Okay. Yosef comes along and Yosef interprets the dreams. Yosef tells him that a situation will arise in which he will have no control, and he knows this is true. He knows that this is true. He knows that that's interpretation of a dream. He senses that that's interpretation. So what can he do at this point? What is his reaction at this point?
He hands over the reins to Yosef.
Yes, sir.
And then if Yosef has the reins.
One second. But as soon as he hears the interpretation of the dream, what bothers him?
Well,
What bothers him? What must he face? He's not God anymore, right? Oh. Now, you know, a person like Parai is not too happy to face such a reality, right? So he must, if there's any chance of him avoiding that reality, he will do it. Isn't that true? I mean, is that correct? Okay. Now, there is a mechanism in the human mind, a mechanism of the human mind, which is known as identification. Identification. What is identification? That a person in his mind can extend his own being and can consider that other people are incorporated also as a part of their ego. They can identify with these people, you see? And whatever happens to that other person, whatever the other person is, they feel that it's as if it happens to them. They identify. It's a process in the human mind which simply, factually, cannot be denied. It takes place in every human being. Identification. Okay. Now, I say like this. What happens to Paro when he has to face the reality that he has no power? He's powerless. Here he's the great king, great God, total control, and he sees that he has no control. So, what happens to his mind? What does he do? How does he avoid? Defense mechanism. So which defense mechanism does he use? Identification. What happens with identification? So Yosef really becomes a Yosef becomes an extension of Paro. You see, once Paro sees Yosef, and he sees this man has control, I don't have any control, but here, he has control, we're both together. Together we comprise one unit, and we have total control. So Yosef isn't any more an extraneous being. And really, Paro never really is selfless and never really gives Yosef all the power and all the kavod. Who does he give kavod, really?
Himself.
But there's two ways for Paro now to get kavod. One is directly through himself, and the other one is through Yosef, who he immediately identifies with. You see? That's why we can understand the overreaction. What was the overreaction? It was necessary to have an overreaction. Why?
It was towards him.
That's right. Because Paro was faced with the most threatening reality that any human being in his position could face. And that is that someone who considers, who thinks of himself, considers in his mind that he's the most powerful force in the world, suddenly he sees that he has no control at all. Right? So there's only one way, a very quick defense mechanism takes place. And Yosef becomes a part of himself, and there has to be an overreaction. But it's not because of selflessness. He doesn't give Yosef anything. Everything he gives to Yosef is just like taking from one hand and putting it in the other hand. You see?
Honestly, how's that identification? I mean,
in other words, like this. What he does is simply that Yosef and him together now comprise one unit. That him and Yosef, in other words, Paro is still the most powerful force in the world. Why? Certain things he can't do. He sees certain, but for that, he has Yosef. Together, him and Yosef, we're the most powerful force in life. Yosef is always... What?
Well, Yosef is doing what he couldn't do.
Well, Yosef, yeah, that he knows what he's doing because he sees, he had a dream, he would have been wiped out without Yosef. The man isn't crazy. He knows without Yosef, he'd be wiped out. He's dead. He'd be famine, anymore. Everybody would die.
Why did he just kill Yosef now?
Was it? No, he can't. He's not on the contrary.
No,
once
he loses control.
Then he loses control.
He has it now.
We're not talking about
it.
Right? Other question. What is it? Yosef did him a favor, so pay him back for the favor.
Don't pay him back. Get rid of him, guy.
You have to be a little intelligent too.
No.
He kills a subject that helps him. Nobody's going to. He's going to lose his throne pretty quickly. He has to instill in the people a certain amount of confidence in him. People should want to help him. I mean, this he can't. This just be crazy. But you see, even in Mitzrayim, when they started the Jews to work, he couldn't come out with a decree and tell them to work. He had to go down himself and start working. The whole trick. Political way of doing it. You can't be naive about this. You just can't look at it like a story. You have to understand Paro was a real man, and he had a government, and he had to run it a certain way, not like a fool. Alright?
Two questions. Why, he already knew what to do, right? Because Yosef told him.
Yeah.
Once he knew what to do, why did he have to identify with Yosef?
Don't you understand?
Now he knew what to do.
No.
Yosef was going to control over him.
Right.
He saw that. He, Yosef,
he knew Yosef. did he see?
Well,
he sees the man is in the corner. He says, we've been wiped out. He can't. If he killed this guy, he can't do it. Yosef, the only way to do it is that Yosef is a part of him. Now, together with Yosef, he forms the most powerful being that there ever could be. So nothing can stop him now. That's the way his mind went. Now let's take a little further. What was the other question we had?
That's why
points him right away. Yeah, points him. He doesn't care to the people, even to the people, he says. Go to whatever Yosef says, do. He doesn't care if people can come to Yosef, because Yosef and him are one entity. See, together, he works together with Yosef. Him and Yosef are one. Vayakev says this whole thing of making him a Sheni L'melech. Rakakis Egel Mekor. And the Farshah says, Rakakis Egel Mekor means somebody has to be called power, so it's me. But of course, he really held that that they're both one entity, both the same. Okay, now. Let's go back to Shemais. What happens in Shemais? Let's take a look at Shemais. Ve'ele Shemais b'nei Yisrael abot Yisrael me'is Yaka Yishu v'ese bo'u Ma'ikol nefesh yetze yerach Yaka Shivim nefesh v'yese fayev Mitzrayim Pasuk Vav Vayomas yese v'chol echo v'chol ador ahu v'nei Yisrael parva yishetzu fine Vayokom melach harash ha'mitzrayim ha'shel lo yedas yese. So Vayokom melach harash comes right after which major event? Vayomas Yosef v'cholecho v'chol adorahu.
Amen.
Now let's understand what happens. You see, when a person is a certain amount of I don't want to use terms of you know what narcissism? You know what narcissism is? Narcissism means like this: that a person's self-love. So that means there's a certain amount of psychic energy flowing towards the self. Now, this is what makes the person, the self-love means a certain amount of energy of the mind is going towards the self. Okay? Yeah. Then, what happens if the person extends his ego, and it's not only himself, but it's somebody else? So this energy, this psychic energy, doesn't go only towards the self, but it goes also towards the extension. Right? Goes to extension number one. Okay? Right. Now, what happens over here is very interesting. Yosef dies. So what happens when Yosef dies? What happens to the extra energy? It must be channeled. You see, the point is like this. Well, let's look at it. That's the way it works mechanically. Well, let's look at it again from the other side of the picture. Yosef and him form one entity, one powerful unit, right? Now, what happens when Yosef dies? Paroi once again is what? Is threatened with the idea that what? That he has no power. He's not all powerful.
Why is he threatened now?
Why? Because no. See, you have to understand the Rav is an. You have to understand. You can't be childish about it. The Rav is an incident, but the incidents in people's lives change their whole minds. If you know how the psyche works. The mind doesn't stay rational and keep relating to the incident. The incident changes the person's life. It changes his mental life.
Understand now, mentally, after the incident is gone, now he doesn't need
Yosef
anymore.
No. Not so simple. Once he identifies with Yosef, he and Yosef become one. This, even after the incident, this remains. Many, you know, this is a residue of what happened. Once the change in his mind takes place, the incident doesn't have to keep on being there. The change has taken place, and this way it looks at Yosef. For the future, he always needs his protection. Yosef is there always to protect him of any unforeseen event. Yosef will always see it. You follow? But what happens when Yosef dies? Again, the threat is reawakened. Why? Because Yosef is gone. So that means that his whole power is once again in jeopardy. Right? You understand what I mean? He's, in other words, the event of the Rav threatened him the first time. How did he solve that? That crisis? By Yosef becoming a part of it. But now when Yosef dies, don't you see, the crisis is reawakened again.
There's no Rav anymore,
but the Rav showed him one thing, that the man is not all powerful. That's what the Rav wasn't just the Rav. The Rav showed him one thing, that he's not all powerful. Once he's not all powerful, he's Yosef. So with Yosef, he's very happy. But all of a sudden, Yosef dies. Then what happens then? What? New crisis arises. Again, his whole idea of himself is threatened. He can't live this way. So how does he get out of it?
He builds up himself.
See, there's one mechanism of identification, defense mechanism, but there's another defense mechanism.
He suppresses other people.
It is the most basic defense mechanism. What's the most basic?
Repression.
A thing happens in your life, which is very painful, and what does the psyche do? Presses it out. So now, at the time of the second crisis, the moment Yosef dies, and Paro once again is faced with a possibility that he really isn't all powerful, and his whole self is threatened psychologically. Psychological self is threatened. How does he resolve the second crisis? Yosef isn't there anymore. There's only one way. What's the way? Completely annihilate Yosef, and the whole event of the Rav and everything that happened never happened. Just as if it never happened. Then Paro can go on and be God again. When an event during the time.
What? He didn't like the reaction on it. Because he needs the Yosef. What does he do? Because the opposite goes against him.
That's right. Very good. That's good. That's good. Then, you see, the first step is to repress the event. Ashela Yodas Yosef. That's the first step. But then, there's a further development. That when a person wants to forget something, it starts cropping up. You have to do things to push it out again. So, on the contrary, rather than the whole idea of Yosef was a painful idea. Yosef and the Bnei Yisrael, they all came there in order to suppress the idea further. What does he do? He oppresses the Bnei Yisrael. That could be that's the source of his oppression. Could be also that plays a role in the oppression of the Jews as well.
Why does
Christianity oppress the Jews so vehemently? What do they say about us? What do they say? They say that we kill their God. Why do they say that? They have to say
it.
They died. Not because they died. Not they killed them. Very simply. It's just the opposite. The truth of the matter is that we gave them their gods. Not we killed their gods. We gave them their gods. You see? So, now this, to recognize this reality, is the most dangerous thing. That means that they're a bunch of fools, that we gave them a god. So therefore, in order to keep that thought down, which is true, which is the history of the thing, and then even they know it today, everybody knows it. So in order to keep that truth down, you have to say the opposite truth must be implied. They killed our God. See? So the mind has a way of, in order not to face certain realities, the mind goes to the opposite. That could very well be the source of the Xeris. Not only didn't Yosef not help me, but on the contrary, his people deserve punishment. In order to prove that this never happened, to prove further in his mind that this never happened. Because a person is never free from a repression. The idea is always cropping up. Okay? That's why I say that Shmuel says, the Pshat in the Apostle, why it's very possible, it's not really.
And why does he have to do that? I explained how it could be. Why should he even want to do that?
Why? I'll tell you why. Because if you really, you see, let me put it this way. When you say there's a machlekes over here, I wouldn't say it's like a machlekes in halacha. I would say like this, that the two possibilities are expressed by Rashi. They express two possibilities. Understanding Paro before, Shmuel says, understanding Paro before, it's quite possible the pasuk means that it was
it's quite possible, but it's still the pasuk, says something. I don't imply it.
Why does pasuk say something?
I mean, you can say the Yom Kippur Chodesh.
All I said is my question. Let's make sure we answer what we asked.
I answered your question.
The question was, how could you say that it's against everything there? Now we understand how it is.
Yeah, but why should you say
that? Now everyone know, right? What do you say?
Why do you want to say that? Okay, he can say it. Why? You don't want to make him out focus that as well. Shut up. I mean,
where do you find in the Chumash that it's the same
as
that?
The what?
Where do you find in the Chumash that it could be the same?
That it could be the same fire. I say, if you understand parah, you'll understand that the direct result of Yosef's death is that this is what has to happen. Since the direct result of the, if you understand parah's psyche, you'll see that if Yosef dies, this is what has to happen. This is what has to happen. So once you say that if Yosef dies, this is what has to happen, so there's two possibilities. Either it was, both possibilities are there. You want to know why he insisted on the possibility, why he didn't say that? I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you what evidence he had. What evidence he had?
Possibility exists. Sure.
You see the possibility exists. I mean, what proof? What further proofs he had? I don't know what further proofs he had. You have to see what further proofs he had. But the point is, the possibility is there. It's not in that rigid.
Also, that's what, you know, what he said about, how did Tyler know the dream is true.
Right.
When you say that the dream was, like, the stuff that is overlapping is always prophetic, and the extra is,
the overlapping is not prophetic.
The overlapping is not prophetic.
Overlapping.
Yeah,
the one that was overlapping, that was falls on the outside. I mean, that was falls on it.
Right, overlapping the same.
So,
the one that I was saying.
So, it doesn't mean that it has to be prophetic, but it means we can't say that it's not prophetic.
No, in this case it was, because he also
said. No, what I'm saying, but in normal case, we can't, whenever it is overlapping, we can't
say. In normal case, we don't know. We only know him, because Yosef said. Paro, Holly Shunos. He told him why he was dead twice. We dreamt twice.
I'll tell you frankly, the truth of the matter is this. The truth of the matter is that I just did it to prove it to you. But in reality, even if we had one dream, I would still say the same thing. Why does he have to see himself in the dream, and why does he have to come out of the... wasn't separate later. All I said is that in this case, you don't even have to... You have a better proof, an actual proof. Here's the prophetic. So the second one is just the essence of the prophetic dream, and you just take one and superimpose it on the other, and you see the parts that are not. It's a very easy method to do it, but you don't really need it. If we didn't have the second dream, we would have to analyze, take the analysis from Yosef, and see which points he analyzes. Any points that he doesn't analyze, obviously, isn't necessary. We probably we wind up with the same conclusion. But I just use it as an easy method.
But could it be that power really knew what the answer to the dreams was.
Right.
But that none of the people explained it the way he really believed it.
Right.
But how do we know that he believed that this was right? How did he know when Joseph told the gentleman? Yeah. The reason is because the second time he didn't say Vihinei Omen Aliyah, because by the second time he saw the dream, he already knew that he wasn't the total source of he wasn't the source, he wasn't the godly figure anymore.
So
therefore he left that part out.
That's even before he made it.
So in other words, he understood the dream. But no one confirmed, told him that he's right. So no one told
him. Who didn't say that? No, he says he doesn't know. He didn't know. Doesn't say. But he knew what the explanation was.
He had an idea.
What do you know? So what? So he means that therefore he deleted part of the dream to Yosef? That's crazy. Even if he has some sense of feeling that he knows, but if he wants an interpreter, he calls an interpreter, means he admits that this isn't his field. He doesn't really know, right? Now, the only intelligent thing is to present the interpreter with all the facts.
No, I'm not saying why he told you what he told Joseph. I'm saying subconsciously within himself he left it out, because he already...
He left it out from where?
From the second dream.
When he told over Joseph or from the
dream? No, when he dreamed the second dream. It wasn't that... It was left out.
That's not to say, because the desire is there. Desire, it doesn't remove the desire. The dream comes from the desire. But what let's say we'd say that way. What would it prove anyways?
Well,
So that would explain why you, you know, how you immediately knew that Yosef was right. You already knew it.
He just wanted someone to confirm.
Well, what do you know? What do you know? What?
He knew that what Joseph was explaining is right.
Yeah, how do you know what he was explaining is right?
Because see, that's what he explained
himself. Is that his interpretation?
That's
ridiculous.
No reason to...
He said, Acharei, look what he said to Yosef. He says, Acharei dia lekim. Here. Then if he held he was right, so what is Yosef for? Acher deal a kim my schos chazois a novel v'chacham kamaycha. A novel v'chacham kamaycha. Apparently he had them.
Why couldn't he accept the other
explanation? Anim tzachazei ishi shenruach kimbai. My empire. Notice ruach kimbai. Okay. My empire Yosef acher deal a kim my schos chazois a novel v'chacham kamaycha. After TL basis, apparently he told him something new. Sorry, new. I know myself. Just to confirm it. But anyway, it doesn't make any difference. Either way, it doesn't make any difference. The point is, I would say simply, what did Pare sense from the dream? Pare had one sense from the dream. It was a sense of total disaster. See? It was a sense that there's something in this dream which breaks down his whole self. That's why it was Hatipon Ruchon. That's why the other ones didn't satisfy, because they said you're going to have seven children, you're going to bury seven children. But he knew that that still wasn't break him. Something bad. He knew that this, he sensed that the interpretation has to be something which means a total devastation of his whole self-concept.
So
and that's why Yosef said that.
What?
It didn't happen in the second dream. It never happened. Because you want to know why in the first dream there were additional factors besides the prophetic. A question like that, how are we going to answer a question like that? Again, you're going to ask why a person dreams one dream in one part of that and another dream in another part. Right.
And, okay.
So what's the matter, though?
Does
that mean
he should
take these? No. You're asking why a person dreams one dream in one part of that and another dream in another part. Right.
And,
so what's the matter, though? That question, you can't put a question there. You're going to say, the person has a dream of a wish at 10 o'clock at night. Every night, every hour, right. Guy's going to have regardless of the same dream.
If it was in both dreams, then it would be prophetic.
It was totally prophetic. The second dream was not a dream in terms of what we understand a dream. The second dream was completely prophetic. 11 o'clock to 11:10. That was the first dream, right? I didn't say dreams are much quicker. What about the dream of two,
Sarah
Mashmas are can
we
see?
That question was the first one.
Huh?
That question was, we see what?
Can you see anything in that dream which isn't, which would give, which would lead to the interpretation?
Well, where is
the,
can't see God, right?
Right.
That's why I was thinking that you may know you.
Right.
So that's why in when Yosef came along, right, he realized that he really wasn't God, right?
Right.
Right. So my question is why when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim,
yeah,
and he blessed them, right?
Yeah.
Rashi says, what was the bracha? But besides that, yeah. Rashi says also that when Paro would actually, yeah, realistically, when he went down to the Yor, the Nile would come out.
The what?
Denial.
Oh, the Nile will come to speak. That's right. Very good. Very good. In the relationship of Pare and Yosef. That in reality, he did start to withdraw already from Yosef after it occurred. He did start to withdraw back to himself some of the energy that was going through Yosef. Yeah, a little bit he started withdrawing. After the incident passed, after Yaakov came, if you take a look at the end of Vayechi, take a look at the end of Vayechi, it says like this. On Perek Nun, Vayipol Yosef apnei ave vayevkaba vayishak loi, vayetav Yosef avolos arayfim, lachanay desaviv, vayechantu arayf misroch. Then it says, Vayavri mevechise pasuk dalid, vayidaber Yosef el beis Pare lemar. It's not Pare anymore, it's beis Pare. Imno matzasi chein beinechem. Does this sound like a ruler? Dabruno, please speak. Ba'oznei Pare lemar. Yes, we've heard. Ovi hishbiani lemar. Made me swear. That's the only reason I'm bothering you. Hinei nechimes. As Isaac. Ba'ato elenu ve'ekburas olivo. You see, really, Paro started to withdraw from Yosef. It wasn't a total withdrawal after he died. He started to withdraw a little by little. Started to withdraw. But then after he died, that was a total change.
I understand that, because what was the whole point that Yosef never went up to Seattle
for? That's separate question. Why Yosef couldn't send the letter? Ramban talks about why couldn't Yosef send the letter to his father? 22 years, his father's Yosef Bitzar. Yeshiv Bitzar, he doesn't do anything about it. A lot of
I'll
tell you what the answer is. The Ramban tells you the answer is. The answer without a doubt is the Halanis. There's no doubt about it. The answer is the Halanis. What? That if you knew the true interpretation of Yosef's Halanis, you'd see why Yosef didn't send a letter. What? Well, maybe we've next week. There's one point I want to mention. Take a look at Pasuk. Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Ches and Tes. Vayemeh Parah al Yaakov, Kamo Yemei Shnei Chayecha. How old are you? Vayemeh Yaakov al Parah, Yemei Shnei Megurah Shloshim Ma'at Shonah, Ma'at V'royim Ho Yemei Shnei Chayai. V'lo Yisiv Yus Yemei Shnei Chayai, V'yisad B'nei Megurah. So Ramban asks, he says, Lo Yadati Tam Azokin. So I don't understand what the Tam of Yaakov was. He says, what does he gain? He says, Ezen Musa Yesh. What does he gain by telling Pari he had a bad life? What's the purpose of this? And Bani asked the Kasha, doesn't answer the Kasha. What's the purpose of this? And the way we explain Pari, perhaps we can give an answer. Because Kama Yimei Shnei Chayecha, the Ramban mentions, says Yaakov Avinu apparently was very old. Very old. And in those days, they already weren't living that long. Because the lifespan was shortened gradually. And Yaakov was already a very old person. Now, a man who considers himself to be all-powerful does not like to see anyone have anything. It's not, you see, the mind, we're not dealing with rational factors. We're dealing with the craziness of the human being, you know? Craziness of person. It's insanity. So the insanity of such a person is that no one can have anything that he might not have. So when he said, that's why I said, Kama Yemei Shnei Chayecha. What do you mean? Hey, you have something here. You have something that's very interesting. Very old age. I mean, this is a great thing. Even a king needs it. So he said, I don't have it. It's a terrible life. It was long, but it wasn't good. So what good is a life as long as no good? I mean, it's worthless. So he didn't want Pari to feel in any way that he has anything to be envious of, because that immediately incites the person with such a psyche. And the one who was the person, who was the individual who knew the human psyche more than anybody else? Yaakov was the one. Because by Yaakov, by Lavan, he knew, Yaakov knew Esau of Lavan, Yaakov knew how to handle it, every individual. And such an ability is only from a sound knowledge of all the instincts in the human mind. So that's why when Yaakov saw Pari, he knew right away what to answer.
You said when Yaakov gave the father, right?
Yeah.
It might have hurt Yosef a little bit and helped Yaakov, right? First of all, that's reinforced by later on, I think, in the beginning of Leif, right?
Yeah.
That he didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. So that's one of the reasons that they should make Mitzrayim.
Should make
Mitzrayim,
that's right.
But still, before Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, Hashem tells him that Yosef's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything.
Right.
So why should Yaakov make an attempt to make himself greater in front of Pharaoh? Why didn't he just rely on
Mitzrayim? Yeah, listen, see, we tend to have, especially when it comes to the Torah, you know what I'm pointing out? When you learn it, you have to realize that things don't just learn like it was taught to you when you're 6 years old and 7 years old. It's very bad. I mean, you have to realize that now you have to relearn the whole Torah on a mature basis with the knowledge that you have, just like we learned at Taisvis. You have to really analyze it. Of course, you teach kids some ideas, you teach them all stories, but that's not what the patient of the Torah is. You have to understand, Pharaoh isn't a figment of the imagination. Pharaoh isn't a fairy tale. It's a man who has, you have to look at him as a man who's running a kingdom. You have to understand what's going on there. Why you can't look at it that way. So in regard to your question as well, that Yaakov had the Nevuah told him that this is going to happen. Of course, the Nevuah tells a person what's going to occur, but a person has to do everything in his power through the normal means in order to achieve it. There's no time in life where Navi is simply removed from all obligations. Everything must go in the normal way. Even the horse says he's going to do it, Yaakov. So let Yaakov sit home and wait for an airplane to pick him up and put him in the train. That's the normal process. Normal process. Yeah.
First of all, what caused the lack of identification?
I don't know. I mean, why he was starting to withdraw. I wouldn't say it was a total lack of identification. He was starting to withdraw.
Starting to withdraw. He didn't have power. Then he still lacked power, right?
Huh?
He still knew he lacked power, right? The one allowed him to...
It's hard to say. See, he was starting to withdraw already.
Like you said before, to a certain extent, he can, when the incident is over.
Starting to repress. I say the repression started at that point. I say it was starting already. But when he died, then it had to be told. That really was a blow to the family.
When he died, what were his powers? The fact that now part of him died. Was that the problem there?
What?
When Yosef died, he said his power knew again that he wasn't all powerful.
Right.
Why? Because he saw
Father God? Because that part of him, which he kept, and he kept that part of him in order to be able to see unforeseen events. Right? And that part's gone now. Now a tragedy can occur. There's no way to wipe out the memory.
That part of him died. So he's part of him right now.
Same thing.
Well, you were talking about the other problems.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Would this be, it says, Kos Tau Biyadi.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Got it.
So we see that he was like, he wanted to, rebel.
Very good. Even more. Take a look over there. Take a look. Says, take a look at the two dreams. What does he see first? He sees the Geffen. Uva Geffen Shlosh Yisarigim. The case power of Yadiv, what did he do? He starts in the beginning. The man takes the grapes, squeezes them. What could signify more a desire to serve the Melech than this pasuk? The man starts from scratch, starts from the grapes, right? The first thing, nothing's ready made, and he enjoys doing the process for para. He enjoys squeezing the grapes. Every step of his service, he enjoys. You see? Ah, now take a look at the next one. The next dream. Vayar Sarah Mitavarim is Afani Bahalami. Vine Shlesha Saleh Khairi al Rashi. He doesn't see the stalks and the flour and makes it into bread. Nah, everything, it's a ready made product, right? He didn't even do it. There's no activity in doing it. It's ready made. But what happens more than that? He never even gets the power. So you can see in those two dreams also, it's not necessary to have that change in order to practice. It wasn't necessary to have the other parts of the dream. So you see from those two dreams also. Okay.
Nikate, when the Sarah Mashkim, what was Yosef's mistake? Yosef, it says, had betochen in the Sarah Mashkim. Because of that, he had to wait 2 years. He forgot him, right? But then he remembered him later when Parah had his chaloim. And he said to him in Pasuk Yudbeis, V'shom mitanu nar ivri evid l'sara tabochim, v'anesaper loy v'yiftolonu es chaloim esenu, ish kachaloim eposa. So Rashi says, Chazal interprets, that this was really not in the most flattering terms that he spoke of Yosef HaTzadik, but rather unflattering terms. He's a nar, he's a fool, he's a sheita, he's an eved. He is not a man that you could ever take for office. Alright, so I'll ask you a simple question. Namely, if you recommend a doctor, will you say, I have a wonderful doctor for you? He's a fool, he's an idiot, he's not good. Does that make sense? What kind of thing is this? How do you understand? Chazal? Yes? What do you say? You see, the Sarah Mashkim, why didn't the Sarah Mashkim? Actually, the Sarah Mashkim didn't live by the laws of justice. Yosef put his faith in the Sarah Mashkim. He thought, here, I helped you out, so now you'll help me back, right? You'll help me. So, therefore, he told him his whole life story. Yosef told him his whole life story. Now I helped you, now you help me. Why couldn't the Sarah Mashkim help him? Because the Sarah Mashkim had one problem. What was his problem? His problem was he had an ego problem. He couldn't recognize anybody else. You see? Now, the Torah tells you over here the best way to knock somebody down. See, the first way to knock somebody down is not to recognize any of his qualities. That's what the Sar Mashkim did. He walked away, forgot about Yosef. He forgot about him completely. Forget about him. I don't want to hear about his qualities. That's number one. But two, when you have to recognize his qualities already, then you should make sure that you strip him of every other quality that he has. You see? That's what the Sar Mashkim did. The Sar Mashkim mentioned Yosef to Paro only for one reason, for his own ego. Why? Because he wanted to be the one that brought to the king the great solution to the king's problem. So it was his own personal motives were involved. That's why he would never mention Yosef before. You understand? Because he didn't want, he couldn't stand that anybody should get recognition. You understand? Except him. Now, when Paro has his big dilemma, so he wants to be the great man that solves the king's problem, but simultaneously he doesn't want anybody else to have credit. So what does he do? So he says, yes, he could solve your problem, but you should know in every other area, he's no good. That's the way to knock a person down. That's what Chazal said. Okay. Now, let's take a look at when the Sar Mashkim built him up. But he had to build him up in one way. Right? Which way did he have to build him up? Interpreting dreams. Now take a look. V'nachal mochaloyim b'laylo echod anivahu ish kefisroin chaloymai cholomne. Very strange formulation. Kefisroin chaloymai cholomne. What does it mean, kefisroin chaloymai cholomne? We dreamt the dream for the pisrein. Take a look at Rashi. For a dream that fits the pisrein, that fits the interpretation. Chaloyim haroi lefisrein sheniftalonu v'daymalai. Right? Now, let me ask you, what would you say? Would you say a dream fits the interpretation, or would you say an interpretation fits the dream? What does the Torah say? What does the Torah say? That the dream fits the interpretation. Okay. Very odd thing. That's what Rashi said. Chaloyim haro'oi lefisrein sheniftaloi v'daymaloi. What kind of pshat is that? It should be just the opposite. The dream is the ikar. So the interpretation has to fit the dream, not the dream has to fit the interpretation. Anything
I guess in this case,
The dream fits the interpretation. On the what do you mean the dream fits the interpretation? The interpretation fits the dream. What are you doing? What's the ikir? What's tougher?
No. Okay.
A pisrein, an interpretation is an interpretation of a dream. A dream isn't a dream of an interpretation. And then what are you interpreting? You're interpreting the essence of the dream. You understand what I mean? So you have a dream, and now you want the interpretation. So you don't say the dream belongs to the interpretation. The interpretation belongs to the dream. Why does the Torah reverse the order? That's the question. All right, let's forget about this question over here. Let's take something else. All right? Take up another problem. You all know very well that Chazal differentiate between chayk and mishpat. Right? The Torah differentiates. Certain sets of laws the Torah calls chayk, other sets of laws the Torah calls mishpat. Right? What's the difference between chayk and between mishpat? Chukim mishpat. Really, man, see, it's coming in. Chukim mishpat.
What is
Tom's
people is benefiting from? And the other, we don't know.
One we know, one we don't know, right? Okay. I pardon. Okay. That's what you've been taught all the way through, right? And that's the way you understand. But one is you understand, one you don't understand. Now, that's your question. The person can ask a question. You mean to say a chok has no reason?
No.
We don't know the reason. All right, so now we'll ask you further. You mean to say we can't know the reason? Nobody knows the reason?
Yeah.
Is that what it means?
No,
you do?
No, we can't.
We don't? Do we know any of the reasons?
We can, but
we know. How do you know you can know? First of all, let's try to explain it. Right, fine. Okay. But you have bigger than the Mefarshim, you have Shlomo HaMelech. The Gemara says Shlomo HaMelech knew everything except Pardon, we didn't understand thoroughly. Okay, fine. But, so it comes out that every chayk, really, a person can understand. First of all, there's a reason for a chayk. Has to be a reason for a chayk. And secondly, a person can understand the reason. So,
mishpatim, we don't understand.
Yeah, that's a good question, too. Now, by mishpatim also, when we say we understand mishpatim, not so simple that you understand mishpatim. You know what Rav Sadia Gaon says? He says that why he asks the question. He says, mishpat could be understood by man. So he says, so why does the Torah have to give mishpatim? Man can't. Akash Baruch doesn't have to help you, or you know yourself, right?
No.
He says, not. So why the ones that he gave? Why do you have to give those? So Sadia Gaon says, very ingenious Torah. He says, the reason is, because let's say, take the mishpat like Geneva, right? It's a mishpat. The simple thing every society knows, you can't have Geneva and have a society. All right. Okay. But when does Gezel begin? What is a Maisa Gzela? What is Kinyan? When I decide I want to buy the car, when I take the keys, when I write a shtar, when? You don't know exactly when it begins. The details you don't know. Ritzicha. Ritzicha you can't have in a society. You can't have murder, right? What's the big question today with abortion? What's the big problem today?
Well, question?
Yeah, is that murder? Is that not? What is murder? Is it become? Is a sperm? If you kill a sperm, is that murder? If you kill a zygote, is it murder? Is it murder when it becomes an embryo? Is it murder when the embryo has taken shape? When? At what point is it considered murder? The question. How are you going to answer a question like that? Of course, the idea, the basic idea of Ritzicha, a person would know by himself. But the Torah didn't just give the basic idea of Ritzicha. Together with Ritzicha, Hilchas Ritzicha, Shmiras HaNefesh, have hundreds of halachas involved. What is Ritzicha? When? And how much of a cause do you have to be Ritzicha? Kofsalif Ne'ari, a tie person in front of a line. Is that Ritzicha? Is that Ritzicha? All different shilas questions, thousands of questions you have, right? So the Sadi Goyen says, and he says correctly, very well, that it is true that the basic principles of Mishpatim I would know. But you would never be able to figure out, and they would never be able to figure out the details. And that's why today our society is in a quandary. And they could never get out of it. Because one person will argue the embryo is really alive and it has the status of life and has all its rights. Another person will say, no, it's a part of the woman, it's in her rishus. She's the one that, who's gonna decide whether it is, whether it isn't? Or questions you have today of life and death with medical science. When is a person dead? Brain waves? What strength are the brain waves? Heart beating? What about people who are in the state of limbo where their heart isn't beating? Many, many questions. You cannot answer these questions except through one method. What's the method? What's the method? Only if God tells you. Because God can tell you exactly where to draw the line. But man has no way of figuring it out. That's why these questions that the society have, and if you take a look at the arguments, they're all nonsensical. Because nobody has a proof either way. There's no proof. It's just emotional arguments to use one this or one that way. But to really know what life is, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Borei HaOlam, who created life, can tell you this is life and this is not life. Where you draw the line. Nobody else can tell you. That's why without the Torah Misinai, you would never know. It's true you'd know Ritzicha, but you'd never know how to operate. You'd see how Ritzicha operates. That's what Sadi Goyen says. So you see, even Mishpatim is not so simple. Right? Okay. So we find on the one hand Mishpatim are not so simple, and yet we find that Chukim we can understand too. So the question is, what is the difference between Chayk and between Mishpat? The question comes back. If I could understand the Chayk, Mishpatim I don't understand completely, and Chayk I don't understand completely. Mishpat, Chayk, I can't understand, and Mishpat I can understand. So the whole distinction that you always have, that you always think of, in terms of Chayk and Mishpat, when you really sit down and analyze it, it doesn't seem to work out. It doesn't seem to work out. You understand my question? Alright, you understand my question? Good question. According to him, Chayk is going to have a receding border. Why? Because the more you understand, it's going to become Mishpat. You understand? And according to you, Chayk has a receding border. It depends on the person's knowledge. The more knowledge I gain of a Chayk, then it for me becomes a Mishpat. Then there's no real Chayk and Mishpat. That's impossible. Chayk and Mishpat have set borders. You see? It's not a matter of if I understand it, it becomes a Mishpat. Now, Mishpat and Chayk are two separate things. What's the differentiation between Chayk and Mishpat? Simple question. Right? Okay. Basic question. The Torah explains certain Chukim. What is Tzitzis? Tzitzis is Chayk, Tzitzis is Mishpat. Oh. What is Tzitzis? Chayk, right? Okay. What's Tama Mitzvah?
Can I get
time now? Laman Tiskeru. That's why the Rambam says, when the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Tzitzis says, Mehilchas Mitzvah Tzitzis, Mitzvah Chaviva Ibi Yaiser. Because Nimshul Kenen Kol Tarakula, because it reminds a person of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Kol Tarakula. So you see reasons, you can understand a lot of reasons. The Kibasukas, Yeshiva Basuka. Does the Torah say reasons for Yeshiva Basuka? Yes. Laman Yedu Daratechem, Kibasukas Hashafti, Es B'nai Yisrael. So why is that harder to understand than you shouldn't kill somebody? It's so hard to understand. The Torah puts it in the Pasuk. You know, the Torah is written on two levels. Dibur Torah Kvashim Ne'adam. Torah is written on a level where a plain person can gain something from the Torah. Even not a deep London. He understands the Kivasukas Hashaftis B'nai Yisrael. He understands that part. He doesn't understand the complications of how to make a sukkah. You know, all the Ditzanis and the Schach. I mean, this you have to be a genius for. But the basic ideas you can have? Yes? Mishpat means justice. Mishpat is things that you find among Umas Olam. That's called Mishpat. That's what the Ramban says. Remember the Tashas Neach, the Ramban says? He says, Ein Tzorach L'Navi Matia. That's Mishpat. You shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal. Basic, simple things. Yes. The Rambam has in Sefer Kedusha, but the Rambam has two Isurim. I think I want to mention this already. The Rambam has in Sefer Kedusha, he has Isuri Arayis and Maicholos Isurim. Why is that Kedusha? Because there's two instincts in man. Sexual drive and the appetitive drive. Those are the two drives of man. Sleep isn't a drive. Some psychologists say sleep three. Sleep is not a drive, sleep is not a sex. Drives are two things. The drives are sex and also food. Two basic drives. That's why the Rambam says he puts that in Sefer Kedusha. Why? Because the Torah wants a person to be an Odom. And an Odom is one who distinguishes. His Das determines what the instinct is going to do. Not the instinct determines his Das. That's a behemoth. That's why it says, V'skadishtem v'yisem gereshim. V'vdaltem bein abhemo atero latmeo. What does it mean? It means Das avdolaminayin. What is the machalik? What makes a person Odom? His Das. His Das says, this piece of meat I will not eat, that piece of meat I will. this Erva's Asa to me, this Isha's Muteret. And this Isha's Muteret now, and she's Asa later. You see? So that's Adam. Because his Das leads the instinct, not the instinct leads the Das. Okay. Now, it is true that once I understand that, doesn't it make sense? Sure it makes sense. 100%. Makes just as much sense as Mishpat. However, there's one difference, you see? The difference is as follows. The greatest philosopher, the Rambam says in the Hagdamah to Pirush Mishnayos, that certain great philosophers arrived at the same truths as the Torah. Basic truths of the Torah, the Rambam says. First, the Plato and Aristotle. Why? Because they also knew that the main thing in life is not Gashmias. It's amazing. They were able to figure it out with rationality that the main thing in life isn't Gashmias. The main thing in life is Avas Chokhma. Avram worked it out, right? Correct. But there's one thing that they couldn't do. If you take a look, the way they worked the system, nobody, no matter how much das he has, no human being could ever work out Tayag Mitzvah. Let's see him work out from Bereshis to Le'ene Kol Yisrael Tayag Mitzvah. That's impossible. Once he had, no, absolutely not. No, it didn't work out from Bereshis to Le'ene Kol Yisrael Tayag Mitzvah. That was given to Benavuah. He knew it because I got his brochot, but not because he worked out himself. What he worked out himself was one thing, was das Hashem. That he worked out himself. But the rest was given to him through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But no man could work out Tayag Mitzvah. If you would say that, then you'd have to say that the Avram was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu required HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach him the Mitzvah. He couldn't work it out himself. You see?
So no.
Okay. Yeah, go on. Greater person. Greater Nevuah is greater person. Okay. Don't ask for Shlomo Melech. Now, so the question is like this. Since we see this is so, correct? Oh. It means like this. That, what's the difference between the two? The difference is like this. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a chayk, let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a chayk of Arayas, I could sit down and I could figure out what benefit man gains from the chayk. I could work out what benefit man gains from Shabbos. I could work out what benefit man gains from Tzitzis. You understand? But even though I know the benefit, there are 1,000 ways to have that benefit. Why this way? Why bedafke through Tzitzis? Why bedafke through Isser Nida and through Isser Eishes Ach and all the Yisuri Arayas? Why these? I can work out other restrictions. That'll also be just as good, I would think, as the Tayag Mitzvahs. Correct? You understand what I mean? In other words, a person, even though he has knowledge of the Chayk, his knowledge of the Chayk is like this. Once the Torah tells you the Chayk, now you can say what the purpose is. You understand? But to work out a system in which you will give these precise chukim. In other words, when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Tayag Mitzvahs, and they have objectives, it means not just to have objectives. It means this is the best way to achieve the objectives. Why is it the best way to achieve the objectives? Because Hashem knows man, he knows Adam, he knows his nature better than anyone in the world could know it, and therefore he knows exactly the precise formula, which is the best way in all respects, taking into consideration every factor to bring about the desired results. You understand what I mean? Saying is one thing. I'm saying by tzitzis, a person can know the purpose to recognize Hashem. A philosopher, a chacham, a real chacham, could also understand das Hashem, a person to recognize Hashem, by himself. But will a person know that the best way to do it, if you want people to recognize Hashem, is to make them wear tzitzis? That he wouldn't be able to know. You understand? We'll tell you 15 other ways to do it. Who says tzitzis is the best way? Who says mitzvahs is the best way? Who says all the mitzvah means, right? Means for human perfection. But who says precisely those? The only one that can know that is a person that knows exactly Adam, and he knows Adam, and he knows an umoy, he knows society, he knows individuals to the level where he'll know exactly what the best formula is. I say that type of das is only das Hashem. No human being could ever know Adam that well to know exactly why this specific and why that specific. Why this mitzvah and why that mitzvah. Why? Because the person doesn't have that knowledge. The person does not have the knowledge. Now, you say as follows. Therefore, that's like Mishpat. Mishpat is different. Mishpat is a person himself would know the idea on his own. No way. Just to Mishpat a person could know. Not only could he know the benefits that society gains from not having murder. Not only can he know the benefit that society gains from not stealing, but he can know that there must be a law of don't steal and don't kill. Don't murder. I'm sorry. Right? Do you understand? That's the difference between Chayk and Mishpat. When Chazal say that Mishpat is mitzvah shat seichel machayivam, and Chayk is not seichel machayivam, it doesn't mean one you can understand, one you can't understand. Otherwise, you can get rid of all the Mufarshech and Mishpat and all the Chazal. No. It means you can understand the benefit. But you could never have enough understanding and knowledge to create precisely this chayk. That's only das Hashem. And how do I know that? Because that's the difference in Chayka Mishpat. Mishpat is different. Mishpat, a person, a human being himself, can arrive at the particular. He'll set up the particulars himself. All these things will work out himself, but see, they can't have a society. In Chayk, no one can work at Tayag Mitzvah from Bereshit to Lein Ikar Yisrael on his own. Can't, because he doesn't have enough knowledge to know precisely what it is. So what's the difference between two types of das? What's the difference between two types of das? In one case, when I have the thing given to me, I know the objective. You see? But why this thing? What? The construction. I can't figure out the construction of the mitzvah. Man could know the benefit of a mitzvah once he has it, but he could never figure out the construction of the mitzvah. That's impossible. Now we'll go back to Yosef. You understand the difference between having a cash and a chayk mishpat? Sadi Gai says you won't be able to arrive at the particulars. You're right. But why do I still call it mitzvah shasechel machayvim? Because the basics you'll be able to arrive at. But when it comes to tayag, you'll never be able to arrive at it. If you read philosophers, Plato, the Rambam says Plato had certain ideas. Mamish like the Torah. Correct. But in his republic, and where he works out what should be his system, he wouldn't have any, you'll never find tayag mitzvahs there. Wouldn't, absolutely not. The detail, Sadi Gai, there's two things. Let me put it this way. Don't get confused with what Sadi Gai says. My fellas, don't get confused between what Sadi Gai says. What Sadi Gai says is you won't know the particulars of the Mishpat. You understand what I mean?
What
Sadi Gai says is you will not know the particulars of the Mishpat. But he still differentiates between Mishpat and Chayk. Why? Why? Because at least you'll know the basics, the Rashi Prakim you'll know yourself. In mitzvahs you'll never know the Rashi Prakim. Who's to determine what the best way to perfect man is? Who's to determine is Dafke this way and not that way? That only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Tayag, he didn't just give us a method of improving. What did he give us? He gave us the best method of improving. You understand? With this you'll understand something else in the Chumash. You read about Yehuda, Vayer Yehuda Me'esechov, and Yehuda lived with his Zayda, right? So the question is, how could Yehuda shiftei ka? These people were kedushim. So how could he live with a zayna? Vayete le'ol aderach. And the Torah doesn't say it was a chait. Does not say it was a chait. So how could he do it? What's the answer? How could he do it?
Because before I've seen it.
Not a chait. Question is, what do they say? How could he do it? So the answer is because it's kedem matan Torah. So let's keep. But kedem. So what's the, what do you mean kedem matan Torah? What do you mean kedem matan Torah? So what? The answer is like this. The answer is, what type of a situation was it Kaidah Matan Torah, and what type of situation was it Lacha Matan Torah? Kaidah Matan Torah, the situation was the same objectives, perfection of the self, just like Lacha Matan Torah, but there's one difference. Kaidah Matan Torah, a person had to use his own ways of reaching perfection. His own ways. There was no halachic system. Lacha Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Taryai, that's the way. So really, just a second. So listen carefully, I'm going to tell you. A person, you know very well, for instance, in terms of, the Rambam mentions, I mean, this is the Chazal, nobody ever asked bia. There's no isa bia. No isa bia, on the contrary, it's a chiyuv, right? So the Torah recognizes that a person has instinctual forces and he has a need, you see. The only thing is that, like I mentioned before, the desire shouldn't be the thing that overcomes him, that overpowers him. It has to be guided by a seichel, right? When Yehuda decided to have an as bia, so therefore he decided this is the right time, and that's it. A person after Matan Torah can't do it. Even though you'll tell me after Matan Torah a person can have more Hanoah, more Taifa with it, a person can be married to 20 wives after Matan Torah. So what's the difference? He makes Kedushin, he makes Erisin, so what? He still has Taifa, right? The answer is, because after Matan Torah, this is the specific way of perfection. Kaidah Matan Torah was left to him. So Yehuda didn't do an Avera, because Yehuda, that was his way, is it? He had a right to do it that way. That's it. You understand what I mean? Lacha Matan Torah, you can't do it anymore. Lacha Matan Torah specifically this way. You understand what I mean? Okay. Now let's get back to this. Chayku Mishpat. Yes. That wasn't a chayit. That wasn't a chayit enough. But it wasn't a chayit enough. But it wasn't a chayit enough. Okay. Now, the only thing I want to tell you is that the chayit of living with the Zayna wasn't a chayit. He had a chayit perspective, but it wasn't in this specific way. So each person chose his own way, according to his own needs. But Lacha Matan Torah, it's this way, Bedafki. You can't change it. Any means he needed. This is what he needed. That was it. Okay. That's it. He needed it. That was it. Yes. All right. Now, let's go back to this. So the thing is like this. Question is, what did Yosef say? Yosef said like this. Take a look. Ish kefisrein chaloimai. Chaloim haroi lepisorin sheniftalana. The Sahamashkin was a very intelligent person. He told Paro like this. He says, you had a dream, and you don't know what it is, right? So you went to your chachamim, you went to your magicians, your interpreters, right? But he says, your interpreters, you see, I want you to understand something. It's not just Stamazay that Tsar Mashkim comes to Paris and says, I know this guy, and Paris says, go take this guy. The Tsar Mashkim had to tell Paris something. Paris wasn't a fool. We tend to think, because he lived so many years ago, he was a fool. Paris wasn't a fool. If you look at the civilization of the Egyptian civilization, if you study it, the tremendous Chacham is just as smart as we are today. No difference. Either didn't have the modern invention. The person that puts on the television and sits and watches television for 4 hours is not a Chacham. Anybody could do that. Not a Chacham. He thinks the Chacham was living in this year. So it's not a Shaita. They were much more. They were just as intelligent. The people knew then, just as a matter of fact, the Egyptian civilization was one of the longest, I think it was the longest civilization that there ever was. It was for thousands of years, 35 dynasties. 36 dynasties. Anyway, so they weren't, don't lower the fools. So Parai, when he had a bad dream, he goes, I heard of this guy over there, bring him over. The Tsar Mashkim had to prove to him, had to tell him something which he understood, and they said, okay, now bring him on. That's the guy I want. What did the Tsar Mashkim say? So the Torah tells you. Tsar Mashkim said like this. He said, you go to your people who interpret dreams. But do you know how they interpret dreams? How do they interpret dreams? When they hear the dream, when they
think of some interpretation, and then they try to...
They hear the dream, and then they say, this is the objective of the dream. You see? They said, Sheva Bono Yisraelit, Sheva Bono Yisyomus. So why this dream? Why Al-Sfasayar? Why the cows? Why did these eat up these, and why do they work out specifically this way? They can't tell you the specifics of the dream. They only understand, they'll tell you the objective of the dream. Could have 50 dreams with the same objective. You understand? He says, that's the way your Itzag Minim work. That's the way your interpreters work. That's the way your Chatumim operate. This is what the Tsar Mashkim said. He said, but I know somebody that interprets dreams totally different. Completely different. What's his way? Not only will he tell you the objective of the dream, but he'll show you why the dream had to be constructed that way. He'll show you the structure of the dream. You understand what I mean? He'll show you why this detail and why that detail. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's not like chayk. That's like what? Like mishpat. You understand? So that's what he said. V'shami tanu nar ivri. I'm sorry. V'nachal machalam b'layla chor anivahu. Ish kithisrein chalaymai chalamnu. The dream fit the interpretation. In other words, if you'd know the interpretation, you'd be able to make the structure of the dream yourself. He'll show you exactly how the dream was structured. He'll show you why. He'll give you the pisrein, and once you'll see the ideas, you yourself will know how to put the dream together. So the Chalayim follows what? In other words, if he shows you, he has total knowledge of Chalayimus. Who has total knowledge of Chalayimus? A person who can give you the whole structure of the dream. Who'll give you all the ideas, and they will say, now they have the ideas, now you tell me exactly what must the dream be, and you'll be able to put the dream together. That's the man who has knowledge of dreams. Cool. That's what the Tsar Mashkim said. Yeah. Understand it? Ish kifisrein chalaymai chalamnu. Chalaim haroi lepisreinai. When you see the pisrein, you'll know why the chalaim, this particular chalaim has to be for that pisrein. To get these ideas across, you need this particular chalaim, not any other chalaim. Your chatumim, they tell you the objective of the chalaim, you can fit 50 chalaimis into it. You understand what I mean? But over here, Yosef, when he interprets, he'll give you the interpretation and you'll see why it's specific. It has to be this dream, this particular dream. The Chalayim will be exactly in line with the Pishon. The Pishon will be able to explain to you the structure of the dream. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, you see the that's the exact same thing. By Chayk, a person can understand the Chayk. How does he understand it? When you give him the Chayk, he understands the objective. Could he put the Chayk together himself? He's lacking. That's where the Chayk is. Mishpat means where a person can put it together himself. That's what he told him. He said, your chatumim operate like chayk. That's why they didn't give you the right reason. But if a person could show you, if you have a person that could show you the structure of dreams, then he has to be right. That's what he told Parai. When Parai heard that, so Parai said, there's a person that can really understand the structure of dreams. That's the man I need, because now I'll know exactly what the dream is.